Well, good morning, Waynesboro Bible Church family, or maybe it's good afternoon where you are, or good evening, but we're here for the Sunday morning service on Palm Sunday. How is everyone on this beautiful Palm Sunday? It truly is wonderful to know our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and to know that our home is in heaven, not on this corruptible earth. Who would have ever thought that we would be spending Palm Sunday separated from our church family and listening to this message in our homes? The coronavirus has upset the whole world and tragically taken many lives. But again, we praise the Lord because we know He is sovereign, still on the throne, and He is the supreme ruler of the universe. A thought that's been on my mind this morning is Peter's words from 1 Peter 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Our faith rests in someone way more secure than anyone or anything this world has to offer. Our faith in Jesus Christ will see us through the coronavirus and anything else this world has to throw at us. Our faith causes us to keep looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, we believe Jesus is coming soon. Our monthly Bible verse is from John chapter 11, 25 and 26. "Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" We're going to take a time of prayer before we get into our message this morning. And if you have any prayer requests that you would like for us to be praying about in between services or in between Sundays, we encourage you to call the church office and let us know what's on your heart, what you're dealing with, and we will certainly pray for you. Father, I pray this morning that our faith, as we just discussed, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith will remain strong, that we will not have a wavering faith, but that we will confidently trust in you and call upon you in time of need, and cast our every care upon you, because we do know, Lord, that you care for us. Father, I pray specifically for our church family. I pray your hand of blessing upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, for your hand of protection from all kinds of sickness, disease, injury, anything, Lord, that would cause us to be weary or in pain. I pray for encouragement. These are hard times that we live in, and it's hard and stressful to be confined to our homes, to wonder what's going to happen, how long is this going to last, and so on. I pray that our folks will be greatly encouraged through your word, and that they will trust in you with all their heart. And I pray for patience. I pray, Lord, that we will wait upon the Lord, that we will wait patiently upon our God, that we will cast again our cares upon you and wait for you to deliver us from all of our enemies. I pray, Lord, for spiritual growth. As we said last week, that we would take extra time during these times confined to our homes to read the Word of God, to listen to some good Christian music, to spend time praying, and even some fasting would be in order these days as we call upon the name of the Lord for deliverance from this affliction. I pray, Lord, that our folks, including myself, would have an attitude of rejoicing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Father, I pray for the family in our church whose 103-year-old mother went home to be with the Lord this week. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen the family and comfort them. Bless them indeed, Lord. You know the heart of each and every one. If there's anyone in that family who needs a relationship with you, who's outside of the family of God, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts right now concerning life eternal and give them hope in Jesus Christ through repentance of their sins. I pray for one of our ladies who is struggling with her medication. The doctors are trying to get the right doses and the right kind of medications to help take care of her physical needs. I pray that she will be strengthened and encouraged through this trial that she's facing. Give her strength, Lord. Give her joy. And Lord, I pray for a family whose young 2-year-old child is sick with the flu. I trust, Lord, that this flu is not the coronavirus, as the child has been tested for that, but that it is a common flu that will go away in a few days. I pray for healing and strength, and for the whole family. I know it's a very stressful time for them. Father, I pray for our missionaries. Our missionary of the month in April is Dr. Fred Whitman. Lord, you know this dear brother has served you faithfully for many, many years. He's an aged man now. He has poor eyesight. He has a heart condition. He's very tired and very weak. He needs your strength every day. I pray for those missionaries in Africa who have had to stop their teaching because of the coronavirus. I pray for our missionaries in Hong Kong for protection from the coronavirus, which is still very active there. And all over the world, our missionaries, many, many, most of them, are facing the same trial. Please be with them, Lord. Help them to be faithful through this. I pray, Lord, that you will stop the coronavirus from spreading, that you will stop its effect upon people, that you would cause it to die and be taken away. Lord, there are now over 244,000 cases of coronavirus in the United States. That's 250,000. There's been over 6,000 deaths in the United States. I pray for those in need of medical supplies, hospitals that are short on medical equipment like respirators and masks and gowns, for doctors, for nurses, that they are needed desperately for medical personnel. I pray especially for those doctors, nurses, ambulance drivers, and other medical personnel who are subject to infection by the coronavirus themselves. And I pray, Lord, for those medical personnel who are already sick with it. I pray, Father, for all the medical personnel on board the Navy's medical ships, which have been placed in action for meeting the need of overcrowded hospitals in our major cities. Lord, give them strength and rest and keep them safe from coronavirus. I pray for all those military people who are sick, many of them confined on board the Navy ships where the virus spread throughout the crew. I pray, Lord, for wisdom for our president and vice president and all the governors of our nation and all those who are in decision-making positions. They have a lot of weight of responsibility on them right now. I pray you will give them wisdom and that you will sustain them by grace. You will help them through this and help our country, Lord, to recover from this in your perfect time. I pray for France, which has had more than 5,000 coronavirus deaths, and for Italy, that's had more than 3,000 coronavirus deaths already. I pray especially for those in nursing homes to be protected, for all the elderly people who have chronic health problems, for those nursing homes where we've heard that the staff have been affected, and it's spreading to the patients now. Father, I pray for the nation of Israel. They're facing many trials, including the coronavirus, which actually may be one of the least of their concerns right now. They need your strength. They need your help. They need the hand of God upon them. And most of all, they need to know, Father, that you are God and that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the King of Kings, who's coming back again soon, and he will establish his kingdom on earth. Father, I pray that our hope and faith might be steadfast as we face each new day's trials. I pray for grace to get us through all the darkness that we are facing, and I pray for joy to lift our hearts toward God each day. I pray, Lord, that we would practice what evangelist Don Weiler told us that he does many years ago. He said he reads a psalm every day to stay sweet and a proverb to stay wise. I pray, Lord, that we will allow the music of our faith to enter our ears and our minds frequently during this time of trial. Finally, I pray that our worship of you might remain consistent and sincere as we honor the Lord God who never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray and thank you for this time with our church family, that it would be a blessing to each heart, it would be encouraging, it would strengthen our faith, and it would cause us to be near to the heart of God. Thank you for all that you have done and are doing in us, through us, and for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our scripture for this Palm Sunday is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 42. And when Jesus had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering in ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees among the crowd said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Father, bless this message, this time together, as we open the Word of God and allow it to speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May you encourage hearts. May you find a place in each heart to perform a spiritual work that needs to be accomplished in each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, Christians around the world are celebrating Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we usually call Palm Sunday because the crowd welcomed him by spreading palm branches in his path. Those who greeted him were convinced he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, sent by God to establish his kingdom here on earth. We call this the triumphal entry, because Jesus is the King, and he was offering himself to his people as their King. Those who welcomed him were convinced he was their King, even though he didn't come in a kingly fashion, riding on a white stallion with great glory and pomp and circumstance, but he came lowly and humbly, riding on a donkey. The entrance did not end triumphantly. John says, He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The late Martin Dehan II explains the change that took place on that first Palm Sunday. Jesus chose a course destined to give him power, influence, and glory. But he would have to wait for its fulfillment. For now, he was committed unconditionally to the will of the Father, and that would lead to suffering. He knew that before he could accept the crown, he would have to go to the cross. He had to die to fulfill the plan of God. Why did the crowds turn against Jesus so quickly? One week, they welcomed him. The next week, they demanded he be crucified. It must have been a dramatic sight as Jesus approached Jerusalem on a donkey, which again was a sign of his humility. The Bible says that the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest, Luke 19:38. Even those who weren't part of that welcoming committee listened eagerly to his teaching during the next few days. But not everyone in Jerusalem welcomed him. Matthew tells us in chapter 21, verse 10, that the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? But soon, many turned against Jesus and demanded his death. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Peter asked. They all answered, Crucify him. These weren't necessarily the same people who had welcomed him, but contrast between the two opinions of who Jesus was is still striking. Were they disappointed because he refused to establish a political, earthly kingdom? Probably. But Jesus didn't come to set up a new political system. He came instead, listen to this, to change our hearts and to save us from our sins by his death and resurrection. He declared during that last week, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight. My kingdom is from another place. John 18:36. This deeply disappointed those who hoped he would throw out the hated Roman occupiers. They may also have disliked his demand that they repent. They were not ready to repent. Where would you have been on that first Palm Sunday? Would you have been among the disciples who welcomed him and threw palm branches in the path that he rode and cried, "Glory to him, glory in the highest"? Or would you be one of those among the skeptical crowd? You know, it's easy to condemn those who condemned Jesus. But would we have acted any different? Remember, we too are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We too have rebelled against God. The Bible says we're all born with a sin nature, sinners by birth, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 8:28. The Bible says that before salvation, we were all alienated, separated, distanced, and we were enemies in our mind, enemies of God, by wicked works. Those works proved that we were enemies of God. Colossians 1:21. Through salvation, or after salvation, the sinner becomes reconciled, put back into a right relationship with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul writes, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And with salvation, we are given peace, peace with God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Fanny Crosby wrote a song that pretty well sums up my feelings over what Jesus did for you and I on that first Easter. The poem's called, and the song's called, "My Song Shall Be of Jesus." It goes like this. "My song shall be of Jesus. His mercy crowns my days. He fills my cup with blessings and tunes my heart to praise. My song shall be of Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, who gave himself my ransom and bought me with his blood. My song shall be of Jesus while pressing on my way to reach the blissful region of pure and perfect day. And when my soul shall enter the gate of Eden fair, a song of praise to Jesus I'll sing forever there." So the central message of Easter is that God still loves us. He still loves us. And because of Christ, we can indeed be forgiven of all our sins. We can be put into a right relationship with God through confession. "Lord, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I need Jesus." Jesus came for one reason. Peter says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." That he might bring us to God. Where are you today? Are you in a right relationship with God? Where are you in your spiritual journey? Have you welcomed him into your life? Have you accepted God's free gift of salvation? The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if you've never asked God to save you, today is the day of salvation. right now, wherever you are. You could be in your living room, in your car, you could be at work. Wherever you are listening to this message today, if God has spoken to your heart concerning what Jesus, because God loves you, has done, and you need Him, you need a Savior, would you bow your head right now and let Him know that you are asking Him for forgiveness of sin and asking Him to give you that gift of eternal life? That gift is free. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Father in heaven, I pray today that your heart would be open to receive any and all who call upon you. As I prepared this message and prayed earlier, I was thinking so much of many of those people. Many numbers of people have passed into eternity due to this coronavirus. Thousands of people. I'm pretty certain that there are among those many souls ones who are unsaved. Father, I pray that before they enter into eternity, you would speak to their heart. If they've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, may they exercise faith in you and trust in you to save them today. Lord, I pray for those who are saved, for the believers, I pray that you would encourage, strengthen, and bless each and every one. Give them the ability to cast all their care upon you, because we know that you do indeed care for us. We are loved with an everlasting love. And Lord, I pray your blessing on our church family today. I pray, Father, that you would help each and every one to be sustained by faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a few announcements that I would like to give to you before we close this time today. I've been reminded that some of you are wondering what to do about your weekly offerings, since we've been away from church now for several weeks, and it's going to be at least several more weeks before we get back. While we are away from church, it is true that we still have to pay our bills, and we still support our missionaries even while the coronavirus is keeping us confined to our homes. You are certainly welcome to send your offerings in by mail if you wish, and they will get to our treasurer on a weekly basis. The church address, if you need that, is on the front of each weekly bulletin, which you probably have a few of those in your Bible. It's also on the front of our church directory, and you can find it here on our website homepage. This Sunday, Palm Sunday, is the day that our church was to have a special offering for Robert, who is planning to go on that short-term missions trip to Kentucky with churches and missions in August. If you would like to send an offering for Robert, please do so. He has to pay for the trip very soon. Please make sure to mark your offering clearly for Robert's missions trip. Also, we have a lady in our church who is happy to make protective masks for those of you who want them, but she's in need of 1/4 inch wide elastic. If you happen to have any of that lying around, please give me a call here at the church. Thank you very much. Also, the Fellowship of Bible Churches April Bible Conference has been canceled. The Good Friday service at Grace Bible Church has been canceled. Our Easter Sunrise service and all Easter services next Sunday have been canceled. We will have an Easter Sunday celebration after we get back together, including the choir's presentation of the Easter cantata they have practiced, and a communion service on that Sunday evening. And finally, we will have a memorial or celebration of life service for Mary, which is to be scheduled after we get back together again. May God bless all of you and keep you well, and keep looking up, for our redemption is drawing near. God bless you.